Coming up today on the show, we're going to catch up on some Disney news, and we're going to talk about multipass strategies. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 484 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. I'm your host this week, and I am joined today by John.
Will you stop this foolishness?
Okay. And Jason is here.
Well, hello, everyone. I know John did his thing, but, you know, we didn't react at all.
I was going to say, no one even followed up with a line. That should have been automatic.
What was it from? Remind me.
You don't know what it's from?
Mm-mm.
It's from Muppet Vision, the pre-show.
I thought they got rid of that.
What was the line again?
He said, will you stop this foolishness?
Oh.
What foolishness would you like to see?
Yeah.
Gonzo says that. That's what you're supposed to say.
You sounded like Curly when you said that.
Yeah. What foolishness would you like to see?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I guess it kind of does. I don't know. Gonzo. It's hard to do a Gonzo.
I only do Kermit the Frog.
Very good. Yeah, that's a good Kermit the Frog. Well, I'm here. We were too busy figuring out what you did, but yes, I'm here.
I know. It's like, how do I follow that up? Or do I just go ahead and introduce Jason?
I'm like, I don't know. Well, I'm trying to get in. So if you notice the last few times when I do this, I'm trying to get in lines from the things that are about to go extinct.
Mm. So. Well, you got to get Tough to Be a Bug real quick then.
Oh, yeah.
That's a news story. We'll talk about.
Let's talk.
Think about that.
What is the topic of this show? Is it Disney World? Disneyland? Disneyland Paris? What is
Disney in general?
Oh, okay,
actually, I do have a Disneyland story that I was going to start with. So, Disneyland out in California.
Oh, is that where it is?
Yeah, California. Anaheim.
Got it.
Southern California.
Okay. Uh-huh. So, Disneyland is still there, huh? Okay.
Yes, it survived the fires. Anyway, but their Rise of the Resistance has moving cannons again.
Ah, whoa, yes.
Whoa. That was the big news. That shook
the
internet.
I wonder what they did to make it more reliable. They must have been working on this for a long time to try to figure out how to not trip the sensors.
Someone has.
Yeah. Money. They finally have money.
We'll see if it lasts.
Well, it's not just money. I think it was just the design as it was before tripped the sensors about every 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. So how long is it going to be now before like the cannons come out at the wrong time and like crush a vehicle or crash into a...
Or it shoots a real laser. I'm like...
Maybe they'll eventually get the cannons in Hollywood Studios pumping again.
Maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, when's that going to happen? Because if it happens in Disneyland, then chances are they'll figure out how to do it here, too.
I mean, a year, 2 years, 3 years from now,
they'll figure it out.
I mean, how many years has it not been working? Like four?
It's almost went down at the very beginning. Almost. It's about like the Yeti. What, the Yeti lasted how long?
Right. They just unplugged it though.
It was the only way they could get the reliability back up. I think that was the main thing that tripped the sensors. That's why they turned it off.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, well, here's the other thing. Now that the cannons are back firing, is Rise going down more in California? We'll have to check and see.
Yeah, we need to check the stats on that one. See if it's. Yeah. If it's actually working, or was
seems
that
like
just
to be the
one time?
It seems to be the attraction in which everything working at the same time like never happens.
Yeah, the last several times I've ridden it, at least one effect has not been working. But
well, I've always seen more effects working than I did in my Tiana's ride. So
yes, I know. So,
yeah, that was pretty rough.
I think the first time I rode it was. Most everything was working the way it should have. And then the last couple of times, something's not been quite right. But anyway, oh well. Well, hopefully that will be operational in Florida soon.
Yeah. It's funny. Rise is the one that every time I'm there, I look at the wait and I just don't have the motivation to either wait or buy it.
Yeah. Especially like $25. It's not worth I don't think. But
just saying.
Per person. I was actually watching... Fresh Baked, he was doing like a thing at Disneyland where it's obvious that money is starting to flow into the parks again because there's all these little things that they're fixing at Disneyland and as well. And so we've noticed it, obviously, at Disney World, like Astro Orbiter getting a refurb that probably needed it a long time ago.
When you say refurb, you mean they took it away entirely?
Yeah, it's like they're rebuilding it by ride, I guess, yeah.
Are they going to add a lightning link somehow? Is that the idea?
I hope so, actually.
I don't know how.
And then they're going to raise the price.
Right.
It's like, we added another attraction. We got to raise the price.
Right. But there's a bunch of little things at Disney World, just rapid fire, that I saw recently. The glowing pavement at Pandora is being redone again, which maybe that means Animal Kingdom will be open past dark again for once. I don't know. Or the after
technically,
hours.
It's technically open past dark now, just because it's winter. But.
Barely.
Yeah, but it's getting longer.
I don't know if it is. Isn't it closer to 6 or 7?
But they also had, like, didn't they have the extended hours?
Oh, yeah, they do have that for a very small portion of the guests.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just for that. Also, well, this was, they had to repair it, but it was the queue of Soarin' where it flooded, I guess, the bathroom had overflowed or something.
Something happened.
They're fixing that quickly.
Well, I guess that bathroom for Garden Grill is right above it, right? Right above that area. Maybe that had something to do with it.
May have been, yeah. Possibly. Big Thunder has, you know, obviously a lengthy refurb, but it looks like, you know, track replacement, or at least pieces of the track are being redone. Maybe pieces that were problematic for the block sections or something. But, you know, of course, the rumor is that they're going to get the Dynamite scene as well, which I hope they do for that long of a refurb. But let's see, there's Tortuga Tavern is getting, like, that area is getting new pavements being redone in that area outside of Pirates. Mm-hmm. The Swiss Family Treehouse is under a refurb again.
Well, that's like a common thing.
Yeah. Right. Maybe.
It used to always be under refurbishment anytime we would go back in the day.
Yeah. Looks like the exterior of the Mexico Pavilion is getting some retouches. I don't know. That was
why not?
One.
They probably only have La Cava traffic right now. I'm sure they get some for the restaurant too, but
yeah. I mean, those are just a few of them. Like, yeah, okay, there was another one, new carpet at Walt Disney Presents at Hollywood Studios. I mean, it's little stuff, but I mean, clearly they have extra money to
it's just signs money that they're actually investing. I mean, this is part of the however much they have forgotten out of the however many billions they talked about.
Yeah, the extra $3 billion they increased the capex.
I mean, you know, it's part of it, sure. I don't know what the biggest part of it is.
Right.
They have to be spending a lot on things like the poly, and I guess the whatever they're going to do now with the new Wilderness Lodge. Now that it's no longer Reflections, what is it now? It's something else. They rename it.
They're spending the
Lakeside Lodge.
They'll sell those as DVC, so that should just pay for itself, more or less.
Eventually.
Still, you know that's part of the budget, so.
Yeah, Sebastian's Bistro is going to have a refurb in March.
Again?
Yeah. So,
they just feel like they can't get that one right?
Yeah. This was another big story that kind of got everybody talking, but I don't see it as that big of a deal, but the Star Cruiser building is being turned into office space.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was like, ooh. The whole thing's like going to be an office building now. Okay. So it's a building that they need to do something with. So
see there? So they could have gotten rid of that office space behind.
Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood. So
Launch Bay.
Hello. Could have got the office space behind Launch Bay. They could have put Monsters there after all, apparently.
Right.
Surely they don't need that much office space.
Right. I mean, what were they actually going to do with that building? It was backstage, offsite. Like, it wasn't. Couldn't include it in Hollywood Studios. It's
day
too far
cruise.
Away.
Could have been a day cruise or something. I don't know. A
day cruise.
They could have just converted it into a regular Star Wars themed hotel.
There's nothing. No amenities.
Too small. There's only 100 rooms too. No pool.
I said converted into. They could have made some adjustments.
Yeah. That would have involved a lot more CapEx.
No.
But yeah, it would have needed to be a lot more than 100 rooms.
You could have put a smaller pool inside. What's that room that they had that looked like it was earthy? I can't remember what it was. You know what I mean? Like you were outside. The one part of it, the lucky you were going outside.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Sure.
It's been so long since I've even seen it now. I mean, I guess I could go back on YouTube and see, relive the short-lived experience.
Yeah. But if you were, I don't know if it's going to be Imagineer offices or whatever, but I think that's what they said. How cool would it be to have an office that's like a Star Wars? Like, did they retheme it, or is it just going to be like the hotel rooms? And
well, I thought, didn't they gut that pretty much?
I don't know.
I was thinking they did. I was thinking that they salvaged what they could, and I don't know what they're going to use it for. But
yeah, what would they use it for? Hmm.
What are they going to use that big hole that was the where the transport came in? They can do anything with that? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. Make it another gift shop? Sell red milk?
Red milk.
Yeah, the milk stand is so popular, by the way.
Yeah. Every time I walk by, there's like two people in line.
I've not seen anybody in line before.
No, so, I have too. I've seen it that way.
Plus, I don't want to pay $16 for blue milk with like a shot of tequila on top or whatever it was. I think the green one has tequila, but
we've tried it.
Yeah, we did. It's just not good.
Everybody who's tried it doesn't go back for another.
Yeah.
It's on zero people's list of places to stop every time I go to Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The green was like less bad.
I agree. Actually, green was less bad.
Yeah. That's the best way to put it. The blue was pretty nasty.
Yeah. Even still, though, what do they charge now? Like $8 for one of those?
Yeah, that's another thing. That's too much for what it is. But then again, that's like everywhere. So
well, it's not real food. It's
It's fake.
It's like it's that way everywhere, though. Too much for what that is.
All right, let's see. What was the other one? Okay, yeah. So Tough to Be a Bug is closing. We were talking about this a few weeks ago, and we thought surely it's got to close soon because it said the Zootopia show is going to open winter 2025, which that sounds
like... folks were confused. They were like, could this be the beginning of 2025 or the end of 2025?
Yeah.
So apparently it's going to be December the 21st, I'm guessing.
December 30th.
Yeah.
31st at 11:59 p.m.
Didn't they give a date?
No, they didn't give a date.
It still says winter 2025.
Yeah, they gave a date for the closure. That's it.
Yeah, what's the date for the closure?
So last day of operations is March 16th, final day, and then March 17th, it'll be closed.
I feel like the last couple of times I went in there were some things not working like it was supposed to as well.
I don't know. I always lean forward.
No, I was going to say, we need to get you back in there and lean you back. And let you get time to stabbed.
Cheer? No.
Yes.
One last time? Yeah, I think I'm good.
You're not going to go out just to say goodbye to this, Adam?
No. It wasn't my favorite.
Come on now. You'll never be able to get stung in the back again.
Yeah, exactly. Give these kids all the trauma.
Or be fondled by a chair.
Right. Of the bugs leaving or whatever it was. Yeah. The termites or whatever it was.
You know,
I
never really thought about it going as an adult. But then, you know, once you have kids, you kind of look at it. I was like, I could see where this could be kind of intense for some kids.
Yeah, especially when they spray you with bug spray and then swat you with
the black widows come out of the ceiling. I'm fully convinced that's what caused Maddie when she was like about a year old to have a night terror while we were there. I'm pretty sure it was.
Right, that was one of your trips to the
ER. One of my medical trips.
One of them. Yeah.
But yes, we've had many. We have. It seems like
right. They've already filed a permit, too, for the demolition of Tough to Be a Bug shortly thereafter. So, obviously, they are trying to turn this around in, like, 6 to 8 months.
All right. Exciting.
I'm looking forward to Zootopia.
Yeah, I think they could have the film done in no time, right?
Right.
The film part.
I just need to...
I think most of the animatronics, they only have two really in there, right? The big one that was Hopper, and then you had the Flick one up in the ceiling. That's about it, right? If you're going to replace those two. I can't think of another one.
Right? Maybe? I don't know.
That's the only two I can recall there being an actual...
Reskin them.
Well, there was the one that was sitting off to the side, but I don't even think he moved. The one that whenever the acid sprayed or whatever.
Yeah.
He just like the lights flashed on him. He didn't even move. So
Maybe there wasn't that many. But I hope the Zootopia ones will have a few more. Who knows?
I mean, if the film's good enough, it's not necessary to have that many. Just think PhilharMagic. You don't really need that many.
Yeah. Or you don't need live actors like Muppets.
Right. <That's true>. Yeah.
It's probably have to pay a cast member to walk out there every 5 seconds looking for Bunny.
Yeah, Muppets. Muppets was probably the best 3D show just because of all the stuff they put in there incorporated. Well, like he says, cheap 3D tricks, right? So.
Right.
But it was fun.
Boy, it lasted longer than all of them, too.
You got the hecklers that were animatronics. You got Bean.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also got the Swedish chef. I mean, what else do you need? And,
right. Who's shooting.
Yes.
Is that why they're closing? Anyway.
No. Probably because it really doesn't get a whole lot of traffic up until they said it was closing.
Right. Yeah, I remember waiting in line for it, like having to wait to get in the pre-show.
Way back in the day, yeah, we walked around that side. The last time I walked that queue was for Rise.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, so that's why. Q1 2025 earnings, should we take a look real quick?
I forgot about that.
Let's go. So that was the end of 2024.
I was about to say, I was like, there's no way they have.
Right. Q1. It's not even end of Q1 yet.
It's their Q1. Year.
Right.
Their fiscal year Q1.
Yep. Revenue is up 3%. Operating income at the domestic parks was down 5%. Of course, they say it's the two hurricanes had the negative impact on Disney World.
Hurricanes accounted for 5%.
Wow. They have to give a reason, right? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But even when I was there Thanksgiving week or weekend, it wasn't super busy that weekend. It wasn't terrible. So I don't know. Overall, the experiences business pulled in $9.4 billion in revenue, $3.1 in operating income.
Do they break any of that down into Lightning Lane income?
No, I don't see that necessarily. Yeah.
I wish they would.
They're still projecting 6-8% operating income growth for this year. They adjusted down the actual impact of Hurricane Milton and Helene to $120 million. Previously, Disney forecasted an impact of $130 million.
Okay. What's $10 million?
Another significant impact was pre-opening expenses of roughly $75 million for the Disney Treasure cruise ship.
Huh. Well okay. Worth it.
That'll pay for itself eventually.
Yeah, the Treasure looks awesome.
I'm excited. I'm going to get to go.
What is it, July?
End of June, early July. I'll be on there on the July 4th cruise.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was June the 28th. July was it.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you going to sleep in the Haunted Mansion Lounge?
I'm going to go to the Haunted Mansion Lounge for sure.
He said sleep, not pass out in it.
Well,
one leads to the other sometimes.
Just want to just see how it goes. But yeah, I think the Haunted Mansion Lounge looks awesome.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to whenever I get to do a cruise again. Are you looking forward to this DVC Lounge in Frontierland? Are you excited about that?
Sure. I mean, why not? We'll see what they have in there. Maybe they'll have a espresso machine and it'll be as good as the one at Disneyland.
Maybe they should keep the shooting gallery in there as well.
That's what I was going to say. They should have at least
every DVC only. Right, yeah. They usually do that.
I mean, I'm excited to try it out. I think that the DVC Lounge at Disneyland is the best, and it's very relaxing, and it had, like I said, an espresso machine, so I can make a cappuccino, and not just a freestyle machine. If they throw that in there, and I can basically save my Joffrey's expense every morning at Magic Kingdom. I love that.
Where is the one at Disneyland you're talking about?
It's over there in Tomorrowland at the second floor of that one building.
Oh, the launch
where they have, I forget the name of that.
The old carousel theater building.
Yeah, that building, yeah.
God, has that even been used for anything in forever?
DVC Lounge.
Mm. The top was where the model was of Epcot. The only piece that's left is the one that's on People Mover now in Magic Kingdom.
Right.
But the full model was up there at Disneyland back in the day.
Back when they, before they ruined People Mover.
Yeah. And before they destroyed like 2/3 of that model.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, well. That would have been cool to see that full Epcot model. That would have been awesome. But
do you think it had Moana Journey of Water in the original model?
It may have been.
Possibly. I tell you, we really enjoyed Moana's Journey of Water. So, especially Libby.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah. New clothes and all.
Right.
Or the need for new clothes afterwards.
Yeah. Well, okay. That leads me, I think, now to the topic at hand for today, which was, now that we've all experienced and dealt with multi-pass.
Oh, that's the topic at hand.
We're going to talk about multi-pass.
Because people are going to be going for spring break, maybe going this summer as part of their Universal trips and haven't experienced multipath yet. So for those who might be tuning in for that, I thought it would be interesting to go through the each park and sort of give what we would say is our tips or strategies or thoughts on getting the most out of this new system, even though it's changed.
Well, one thing that you and I kind of thought of or discussed for the first time, at least anyway, in the chat, was how, you know, it didn't really matter that they did away with the reservation system for the average person because they pretty much know where you're going to be based on lightning lane choices.
Yeah. Yeah, it occurred to me as I was thinking about this, I was like, oh, that's... they replace the reservation system, the park reservation system, with they'd probably get enough of data from the multipass bookings.
And see, who did they keep that system in place for? The people who are less likely to use Lightning Lane.
The pass holders.
Right.
Yeah.
I think pass holders are least likely to use Lightning Lane.
Well, they're the most likely to show up day of, and if they buy it, they may not buy it 7 days out either.
Exactly.
So that's why, yeah. So they make them reserve. So they have plenty of data on who's going to be where because of
that's
this.
That's what I'm saying. They still have that without a reservation system, pretty much.
Yeah. And
because the number of people that go one and tap in and then go somewhere else is a pretty small number.
Right.
Yeah.
And they really just want to know the first half of the day, like where they need the most staff, cast members to be.
Probably. There you go.
So when's the last time we did the basics on how multipass works? Have we done that in a while?
Yeah, I think maybe when it first came out, we sort of talked about it, but we hadn't really experienced it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. We only had done that in theory at the time.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing, though, that occurred to me was that's why they don't have the multi-park option with multipass. So with Genie Plus, you had the option to buy, you know, an individual park for the day, or for the same price as Magic Kingdom, you could get Lightning Lanes for any park throughout the day. But now you pick your starter park, but you can hop with any of them to get Lightning Lanes for any of the other parks. And I think the main reason they're doing that is so they know where you're starting. Because if you bought the multi, you could start at any of them. But again, who knows? Maybe they'll close that based on which one you book first. But
let's be honest, the only people who are touching all four parks in a day are people trying to do a challenge. No one's touching more than two parks in a day.
The average guest isn't, yeah. But they really want to know where you're starting, but yeah. So, Jason, why don't you give us the... basics on what multipass is.
I mean, we sort of hit a little bit of it. For folks to have been before multipass, if you're listening to this and you used one of the old systems, whether it was Genie Plus or FastPass, some elements of this will seem familiar because it's kind of a mashup of the two. So FastPass, which was the back in the day system, you got three selections in advance for free that you booked 30 days in advance.
Or 60
if you were at a resort. In this right. system, you do get three selections at the park that you purchase for in advance, and you can get it 7 days in advance if you're staying on property. at a resort, or 3 days in advance if you're a day ticket guest. So very similar in that format. There's also a tier system, just like it was back in the day, where of those three, only one can come from a tier one attraction and the other two can come from a tier two. Now, unlike the old system, it's really not necessary to book all three necessarily up front, but you can. You can book one, two, or three. And the biggest difference from FastPass that is more like Genie Plus is that it costs money. The money differs based on the starting park, with Animal Kingdom always being the cheapest park, Magic Kingdom always being the most expensive park, with Epcot and Hollywood Studios in between. The price is set, as you alluded to, Adam, based on your starter park. So just because you bought for Animal Kingdom does not mean you cannot go to Magic Kingdom. You just have to make sure your first experience is in the park that you started.
Yeah.
You are allowed to change after you make a, like if you buy for Animal Kingdom and you want to go to Magic Kingdom, you can change it if there's still availability.
Yeah.
And you pay the upcharge. If you booked Magic Kingdom and you decided, hey, I want to start at Animal Kingdom, you can also change it, but you get no refund.
Right.
But just to give you an idea, the tier one attractions at each park, just so we can go over those. At Magic Kingdom, there are five tier ones, so you can only pick one of these when booking in advance. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, which I always thought was weird to be a tier one. Jungle Cruise, I get because of low capacity. Peter Pan's Flight, Space Mountain, and Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Those three make sense.
Yeah.
You would think Tron or would be on here, but that's a single pass. You have to buy that one separately. And also Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Right.
The multi-pass tier one attractions for Epcot are Frozen Ever After, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, both which make sense, and Soarin' Around the World, which makes no sense to me still, because that's kind of an older attraction. I feel like they should throw that into tier two.
Yeah.
Well, what else are you going to put there?
Just have two tier ones. You don't need
tier one. Yeah, they're never going to do that.
All right. Until Test Track's back, then Soarin' will bump back down, I'm sure.
That's what I would think.
Studios, tier ones, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Smuggler's Run, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Slinky Dog Dash.
Yeah. It's interesting that Tower's not.
It's interesting that Rock and Roller Coaster is.
Yeah. I'm sure they do this based on, they'd have that date on this. Rock and Roller Coaster's wait is usually pretty high. I'm pretty sure that's one of the things they base it on, how long people wait in line for certain things.
And Animal Kingdom, there are no tier ones, by the way.
But I feel like Tower of Terror's wait gets higher than Runaway most of the time.
Well, even what's now. Interesting is the way they've done the tier system has changed the weights on some stuff. So, for instance, Rock and Roller Coaster has a fairly small weight in some points of the day because it is a tier one. Just like Soarin' has a shorter weight than maybe it used to because it's a tier one. So it's the tier one that nobody's picking. So the light wings earlier in the day or maybe in the midday aren't as filled up because people are choosing the other tier ones.
Well, I can tell you Rockin' was not easy to get the day I was there. Let's put it that way.
Well, it is a lower
cost. That was later in the day, wasn't it? When you were trying to get it.
Pretty much all throughout the day.
Yeah. So the other notes on how this works, because we're going to get into this for the strategy. You book your three in advance. The day comes around. In FastPass world, you had to use all three before you could get another. In Genie Plus world, you had one. You could only hold one at a time, or you had to wait 2 hours before you could get another one.
Right. You could stack them if you did.
Once you've used one, you can get another one, those were the rules. In this particular one, it's a little bit different. You can always have three at a time. As soon as you've used one, you can book another one. The other thing is you don't, in the old FastPass system, you had to use your tier one before you could get another tier one. In this system, it doesn't matter. You just have to scan it into something and then everything unlocks all across the park. You can start booking for other parks. You can start booking all tier ones if you want. Whatever you want to do, you can do that.
Right. And that's my first tip or thought is have something early as possible in the day so that you can tap in to anything to unlock that. Break the tiers where you don't have to worry.
Which
about.
Is weird though, because everybody's going to go for a tier one first, right? And that's usually not going to be early.
Yeah. Usually.
Well, in certain parks, you just want to hold that tier one and then book a tier two and break it with tier whatever the earliest tier two you can get.
So like go for a tier one, whatever you can get, and then go for a traction that's definitely available early in a B.
Correct. Right?
Yeah.
You want something you can tap in the moment you arrive at the park.
Yeah.
So that you can unlock your tap ability to, or your pull ability.
Or your park hop ability too, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Hollywood Studios is probably going to be either Star Tours or Muppets. What else? Right.
Star Tours.
You get other things. And the thing is with, if you even want to do tier one at Hollywood Studios, you can usually get, which one is there?
Like, Runaway, probably.
If you're booking 7 days in advance, you can get Rocket really early. Like you say, you can't get Rocket.
You could.
You are, if you are a hotel guest, people aren't going after the Rocket Roller Coaster.
No, they're going after Slinky the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Slinky.
That's the one going the first.
Runaway Railway is probably the second one to go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually
Smuggler's Run doesn't have that much of a way, especially now they have single rider and double rider sometimes.
See, but I found Runaway to be real easy to get a time.
It just depends on the day.
Yeah,
but yeah, I usually try to rope something at Hollywood still, but if I'm not roping, stacking them all together is great, and just getting the tap in is important.
Yeah.
I'll mention too, because this happened to me. I learned the hard way. Everybody in your party has tap in, of course.
Had a similar experience.
To unlock. You need everybody there to get the unlock.
Yeah. Because what happened to me was my wife wasn't there in the beginning of the day. So she didn't tap into the first one. But I had modified one of the three to a different park. And that one worked fine. But once we were at the other park, she couldn't get anything else because she had not tapped into that first one. So I should have brought her magic band with me. I didn't even think about because I had already booked it 7 days ago. I wasn't even thinking about it at the time. But
yep, that unlock is important.
Yeah, for everybody in your party. So if you have a Star Tours and you have somebody who doesn't want to go,
make them still tap them in.
Sure, they have to tap them in. Yeah.
So there's also a thing to note that if you want somebody that doesn't want to go, it's good to know which rides don't have a second tap point because you have to hit both tap points.
Right. That's a good point.
Uh huh.
So, Tower of Terror, it's not enough to tap it at the front. You got to tap it at the second spot too for it to unlock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Make sure the kids go until it shows a green light. I messed up this once my child went through and he didn't, they sort of waved him through, didn't get the green light on the second tap. So it was sitting there all day with this held lightning lane for Tower of Terror that was only partially redeemed.
Right. Oh, man. And sometimes, Star Tours, when we did it, the first tap point wasn't even working. They waved everyone through to the second one and they were using iPads to tap everybody in the second one. But anyway, so. Yeah, it's important. The good thing about Genie Plus, the old system, was 7 a.m. on your park day, everything was up for grabs. Whereas this one, the 7-day window, is not always everything's up for grabs because
there's a constant 7-day window opening. Yeah,
exactly. Right. It's a moving target, so to speak. So
it's 7 days from the beginning of your trip and you can book your whole trip up to 14 days worth of trip.
Yeah. So people who are staying longer than you or before, arriving before you have already booked some lightning lanes for the day that you're picking, unless maybe it's if you're staying for a week or 10 days. You might get that early Slinky Dog.
And also with this system, good luck if you're off property.
Right, because 3-day window, is going to be, you'll still have options.
The thing is, the 3-day window is not your whole trip. It's 3 days. You're going to be getting up every morning, 3 days in advance.
Yeah, right, if you're not a resort guest.
Just like you're doing Genie Plus, only worse, because of availability.
You're not going to have as much available. Yeah. That was one thing I liked about Genie Plus was it was a level playing field, whereas this...
You liked that, and I liked that you could change your mind a lot more leading into it. You'd be like, I was thinking about going to Epcot tomorrow, but I do Hollywood. I can make that work.
Yeah.
Granted, you did have to get up at 7. You had to do all that, but you could change your mind a lot better.
Yeah. And you still basically need to get up at 7. I guess you don't have to as urgently, depending on what you want to do. But should we just start with Magic Kingdom, since that's the chronological order? Actually, well, let's do it with the lowest price to highest price. So Animal Kingdom is probably the easiest to talk through right now, because there's nothing really
there.
There's
no point in buying it. I mean,
let's just talk about this. If you're spending all day at Animal Kingdom,
yeah,
go buy it. Just buy Avatar Flight of Passage single pass.
Right.
And nothing else.
And then if you rope that one, you may not even need to buy that.
Yeah. That might change once they open everything else. The only reason you're buying it if you're going to Animal Kingdom is if you're starting the day there.
And you're park hopping. Yeah.
So if you're starting the day there, maybe pick up an Everest if you're there, or I would say Kilimanjaro Safaris if you're wanting a specific start time for safaris, you know, maybe 10 a.m., make good lion seeing time type of stuff. Use that.
Colleen, because maybe.
It's cheap. One tap in unlocks the rest of your day.
Right. Yeah, if you have a park hopper and you're starting your day at Animal Kingdom, definitely buy it for Animal Kingdom, because you get the other, wherever you're park hopping to, you don't have to pay the higher price for that one. So that would be the reason to buy it for me. I think Flight of Passage is worth the single pass to avoid the line.
Because it's not, it's not as expensive as Rise, so there's that.
It's usually in the like $13 to $16 range, I don't know. Usually somewhere in there, right? 15-ish. It's still worth it to me versus like Rise or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is only worth it if I'm going with somebody who's not done it or something.
With the changes taking place once everything's finished, what do you think the odds are they're going to have two individual lightning lanes?
Oh, they definitely will. Absolutely.
What are you talking about? At
Animal Kingdom? Absolutely.
Probably be Encanto and
Flight of Passage.
Flight of Passage, probably.
Shoot, if it's Indiana Jones, they might do it for that too. Just to start with. I don't think they would ever drop it from Flight of Passage.
For some reason, I get the feeling that Indy, they're probably going to put... Dude, they're going to do like they did with... Tiana's, they're probably going to put it at the on the regular lightning lane. Just my feeling at the moment. We'll see.
Maybe they will do a tier system eventually at Animal Kingdom, have Indy, Encanto, and Flight of Passage. Yeah, they can't.
They can throw the Zootopia show in there.
Yeah, who knows?
Because technically you can get a lightning lane for It's Tough to Be a Bug, the most useless lightning lane of all time.
Right. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's got to be up there.
I think back to when I went when it was like, 2017 or something. I had no idea what I was doing, and I got It's Tough to Be a Bug. I was so excited. We went up there and tapped in. I was like, and we're going to skip this.
Yeah, right.
Skip this non line.
You tap in and you just go right where everybody else is, just like Muppets. I'm tapping into the Fast Pass line, but I'm just going into the pre show with everybody else. It's like, okay. I didn't do anything, so. But if you need a burner, that was back in the day when we had to do that. But anyway, so my thing for Animal Kingdom would be try to book everything and be done before lunch. I would try to get Flight of Passage early in the day. I would try to get your safari.
Safari's better morning, in the morning safari's anyways. Better. Safari's best in the morning.
The lions are usually stirring at least.
Yep.
Maybe first thing in the morning. And then you need your Everest and Kali, assuming Kali's running once you're back there in the spring and summer. And that's it. Animal Kingdom's done. Go to Nomad Lounge or Satouli for lunch. Maybe do the jungle trek or something.
There's a lot more there than that.
There's the bird show.
Just talk about
Festival of the Lion King. There's the Finding Nemo show.
Yeah. You don't need like a
gorilla forest exploration trail.
Mm-hmm. Sure. How often do you do that one?
That one? Actually, I do that one probably frequently.
Okay.
You can take the Wildlife Express train back to the petting zoo and the animation courtyard.
Or you could just ride the train.
Just to knock it off the list. I mean, if you're doing a challenge.
I don't know.
Stop by Harambe House for Club 33.
Yes, right. Of course. Because we're all Club 33 here.
Did you mention Navi River Journey?
No, I didn't. Yeah, you want to do that one.
Dang, Adam. You just can't bring it. You just can't bring yourself to...
Fine, okay. You get Navi for the morning.
I enjoy Navi. It's like Animal Kingdom's version of living with the land.
It's not as good as living with the land. Come
on. I said it's Animal Kingdom's version.
It shouldn't be spoken in the same breath as living with
the land. No, it shouldn't. But I guess you'd want to get Navi, Safari, and Everest, and then buy your Flight of Passage, and then try to get it all out before the morning. I mean, Dinosaur, you don't really ever need a Lightning Lane, get that one afterwards. It's easy to get, so.
Who knows? If you're going to stay numbered, it might have a surge in popularity.
Possibly. All right, so next would be Epcot, would be the next cheapest. This one is, for me anyway, and I think, John, you said the same thing. During the day, I was never able to actually book Ratatouille.
It was hard to do. Well, you got to think there's such a lack of the popular attractions on the regular Lightning Lane.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, everything you want to do is on the tier one.
Yeah. So right. I would book Ratatouille. As
and with today, Test Track down.
Right. Yeah. With no Test Track, I would book Ratatouille over Frozen because Frozen I was able to get.
Yep.
Without any trouble, of course, assuming it's operating all day. But
that was another thing that hurt the day I was there. Frozen went down at like 10 a.m. and didn't come up again.
Yeah.
Right.
Which can't happen. But. So my advice at the 7 day would be book Ratatouille because I was never able to lock it in same day.
Yeah.
And that day we went in January, you had booked that one first. Jason had booked it as the tier one. Which, as of right now, I think that's the one you want to book over Frozen.
Yep, I agree.
Frozen's more bookable.
Go with Remy's, pick up Living with the Land, which has actually seemed to get a little bit more popular by being one of the only good tier twos. And Wayne Spaceship Earth, just in case.
Yeah.
You could. You could do that one as your burner to unlock everything as soon as you walk in the park.
But you pretty much don't really need one for most everything else there, right? Yeah. Even including Living with the Land. I mean, you just get it because it's one of the ones you get.
Yeah, I have noticed, though, that it's getting up to like 15-minute waits, which it's legit 15-minute waits. So you are skipping a lot.
Unless you're there during Glimmering Greenhouses, and then it was like an hour wait because at dark anyway. Because everybody wanted to ride it when the sun went down. So, depending on what they're doing with it. But I would probably do like Spaceship Earth at like 9 a.m. or something. And then
if you're going in that side of the park.
Right. Yeah. If you're not staying at an Epcot resort and you're coming in the front, I would do something like that to unlock it and then get like Soarin' after that. Or Frozen if you can, but Soarin' probably be easier to grab quickly and then do that in the land. And
we should do a day where you go, Adam, and I book your Lightning Lanes, but whatever I book, you have to ride.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, at least I only have to do it once because I know you try to get me on Figment and the Seas as many times as possible. So.
Turtle Talk with Crush.
Yeah, right. That would be actually a funny video or something of like, I'm here at Disney, but I'm just wherever like, Jason tells me to go.
I have to do whatever Jason tells me to go, yes.
Wherever he books. That'd be funny. Yeah, if it wasn't just Lightning Lanes, it'd be like, okay, you have to ride Figment all day or the Seas and go back and forth between those two.
No, we got that's the what you would do at torture rules. Me. Like you can't make you do anything more than once.
Okay.
Does that include making him do Mission Space Orange, right?
Yeah.
Would you be that cruel?
I could probably do it. Does that mean like, oh, you have to go to Connections and get a slice of pizza now?
Well, we'd also have to put a little on how much food you can get.
Speaking of which, something I didn't mention on my trip report we wound up, for whatever reason, walking through the connections area so many times, and apparently the smell through there, my wife hated. She just like really hates the smell walking through there now. It's whatever honest. It was the dominant smell. So
it depends. Like, it could be the club cool, like the soda smell, or
no,
the,
it's not. It wasn't soft pizza. Drinks. It was something. Yeah,
or the Starbucks coffee, depending on.
No, I don't think that would be it.
Hmm.
But anyway,
so it's probably the food smell of from connections.
I guess that's what it seemed like. Something I can't tell. I couldn't pinpoint it exactly what it was.
Connections has like some of the best pizza at Disney World.
Yeah, Connections pizza is really good, actually. Yeah, agreed.
I was just telling you. I was just relaying that information. Huh? We didn't actually eat there, so.
I see.
So you're not saying that the best starting three is Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival, Seaweed, Nemo and Brilliant, and Turtle Talk with Crush?
I mean, as great as those are, yeah, I would try to get Ratatouille, like you said, the land and like Spaceship Earth or something. Yeah,
just throw in a reservation at Nine Dragons or something, and I don't know which one's the least popular there. That or La Sun and Hill.
Oh right, yeah, Sand Hill Inn.
Which one's considered the least popular over there at the moment?
The one in the pyramid is supposedly worse. I've only eaten at the one outside.
Sand Hill.
Oh yeah, the two there. But I was thinking, like, what's the lowest rated table restaurant at Epcot right now? It seems to have changed over the years.
Yeah,
probably Nine Dragons.
Well, depends on who you're asking to.
Yeah. Nine Dragons has a historical. It's historically been one of the bottom, just like Ascent and Hill.
It was fine. I mean, maybe I liked it because I had such low expectations.
Maybe
it's a possibility. Didn't work for Tony's.
No, Tony's is garbage. Yeah, Tony's is gross.
No, was bad.
No, table service at Epcot, not signature. I think you can't go wrong with something like Tepaneto. I'm a fan of Tepaneto.
Well, I hope you couldn't go wrong most anywhere, really.
I just feel like Tepaneto is great. It's food's so good there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just throw that in there because we're talking about the, poor Lightning Lane choices.
Yeah. Right. Well, of course, while you're waiting for, Lightning Lane times or you're trying to pull Frozen because that's the one you're going to have to get same day. you got plenty of options. There's usually a festival, the Cava,
I mean, you're obviously going to spend a lot of time in CommuniCorps Hall, so.
Okay, right. Sure. Watching the Encanto show.
Yeah. That's going to be on your list. Go dance at the DJ.
Right.
I'm going to send you to all the dance parties near Disney Day.
Sure. All right. Well, Hollywood Studios, next one.
That's usually.
Yeah.
E-Ticket Land.
Right. It's usually only a few bucks cheaper than Magic Kingdom. It's not much less usually.
Because it's E-Ticket Land.
E-Ticket Land, as you said. So my thought, the last couple of times I've done it, I booked Slinky, but it's been like later in the day. And I just hold that one for like afternoon. Of course, I was going in the afternoon, so I wasn't trying to like get it out of the way in the morning. I was sort of showing up later in the day.
I mean, it's the safe bet. The other ones are a lot easier to get day of.
Yeah.
So of those four, the Runaway Railway, Smuggler's Run, Aerosmith, Slinky Dog, always book Slinky if you can.
Right. But you're not going to get that 9 a.m. Slinky like we used to could do with Genie.
Interesting that they called it Aerosmith.
For now.
To say it while I still can.
When's that one going to close? It'll be soon.
It's a tier one, but also we're getting rid of it.
Exactly.
No, we're retheming it. Right?
We're retheming
it. Yeah.
On the tier two list, what do you go for?
I get Star Tours for one because I like Star Tours, and you can usually get it the earliest, and that's usually the one I use to break the tiers, where I can
break the tiers.
What are we calling this? And break the tiers? I don't know. What do we call it?
Break the ice when it comes to the whatever it is,
where you can tap in to get another tier one.
What if they started putting places like Baseline on Light and Lane?
He would be first in line still. So
we always rope drop that one.
Anyway. What's your second one, Adam?
So what was the other? Well, depending on if you're going to do Tower, Tower would be probably the smart one. But I don't normally do Tower. So for me, Toy Story Mania is usually the other one I try to go for.
So usually I go Toy Story Mania and Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
And recently we've been, when I go with my son, we rope drop Rock and Roller Coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Then after Rockin', we will either ride it two times in a row or we will run over to Tower, tap in, and then try to pull a Rockin'. So we go Rockin', Tower, Rockin'.
Yeah. So you can get a couple of rides.
Rockin' Tower.
Yeah.
But you'd have your Slinky, you'd still hold that Slinky Dog for like noon hold or whatever dog you got. Later.
I will tell you, though, there was one day that he didn't want to do Slinky Dog that I was there with him. I think this was back in October, maybe, when my family, my parents were there. So we booked our tier one as Rockin. And so that also made it a thing where we could do, where actually the strategy there was, he wanted to do as much Rock and Roller Coaster. We rope drop Rockin, but did not use the Lightning Lane.
Right.
And then we came back around once it started filling back up and used the Lightning Lane. So we got at least, you know, a couple rides. I think we actually got two in during the early hours of rocking before we went to Tower to let the Laurel build. Because I was like, I can't do it. Let me go to Tower for a minute.
Wow.
And then we came back to rocking.
Golly.
Let me let my guts go up and down for a minute.
Instead of, right, exactly.
Instead of back and forth.
It's like that the VIP tour. When he wanted to ride Everest three times in a row?
Something like
I couldn't that. Do. I only did, I think I did two twice and I couldn't. I was like, I can't do this again.
There was one time in the original FastPass system because you could always pull Everest one right after another because you could pull repeats. My niece, I forget how old she was, wanted to rush. I think she rode it seven times in a row, but she had to rotate through the rest
Those
of
the
us.
Days.
She, yeah.
Wow.
Man. They should at least let you ride Tier 2s twice, maybe. I don't know, right? Something.
I feel maybe like that's something we should say. So you say, how many times before you get sick of a coaster? In a consecutive way. Like, each one differently, right?
I mean, Everest for me, I don't know what it is. I start to get dizzy after. I mean, I can do it once easily. If I do it twice, I'll start to get lightheaded for some reason on that ride.
See, I think if any one of them would make one dizzy, it'd be Rockin' just because of the inversions.
I think you pull the hardest G's at Everest, though.
Everest, yeah, probably.
Because the backwards drop and the forward drop have really big G forces.
It's usually forward drop that I start to feel dizzy after.
Really?
Yeah. That's the only coaster, though. I don't know.
You know what gets me, you know, I think I've said this on the pod before, but the one ride that consistently makes me a little motion sick.
Which one? I don't remember.
Teacups?
Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Oh, right.
Oh.
All the rides
all the bouncing around?
It's the that bouncing never... around in a vehicle like that. It gets me. Oh. That's the one thing that leaves me a little sick.
I don't think I've ever, maybe, I don't know.
I can only think of, in my lifetime thus far, there was only one coaster I got on and felt a little strange during the end of it or during the ride and maybe a little bit after was actually Kraken at SeaWorld. It really felt a little odd.
Okay.
I had to gather my composure afterwards. Yeah. It's the only time that's ever happened to me.
Speaking of Kilimanjaro Safaris, did y'all see that Josh Gad went on it recently as a, like they posted it on their social media. You know how he did the skipper? They had him hop on a Kilimanjaro Safari.
Oh, okay.
When he has a cast member and like be on the microphone along with the actual tour guide.
I did not see that. It
happened like a week or so ago. So
interesting.
They posted that I think today maybe.
Hmm. I didn't see that one yet. I've noticed though, Kilimanjaro Safari, the drivers have gotten a little more jokey. Like have cracked more jokes lately. I was like, this is a little bit like a Jungle Cruise type
Yeah, I think it is. I get sick in a car if I don't drive, especially if it's in stop and go traffic type stuff. And I think the Safari with the bouncing around and then the stop and go and the stop and go, that's what gets me. I see that.
They do recommend pregnant women not ride Safari.
Am I a pregnant woman?
No, but I...
Were you pregnant at the time this happened, Jason?
Yeah. I'm just saying, obviously, they know it can cause issues, you know, for some people. So, all right, Magic Kingdom, we got to knock the...
Let's knock out the last one. This is the one where there's a lot of strategies that you could employ. But let's start with your tier one choice. Big Thunder Mountain, Jungle Cruise, Peter Pan's Flight, Space Mountain, Tiana's. I think most amateurs would say Tiana's is the one to get. Don't. It drops all day long. You don't need to pull Tiana. Right.
And it goes down all day long. So while, as of the recording of this, they still have the boarding groups, you could still use virtual queue and not have to.
And currently, it seems to be kind of consistent with what happened with Splash, but in the cooler months, it's even easier to get because it's available for way longer.
Right. If you're going in the summer, you know, they may not even have virtual queue by then. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
Just, I would not recommend getting Tiana's as your tier one. So that leaves Space, Peter Pan's, Jungle Cruise, or Big Thunder. And your choice really comes down to the crew that you're going with.
Right.
And what they care about the most. If it's a kid that you want to do the kiddie rides, you know, the Peter Pan's flight route.
Right. If it's little kids, yeah.
Yeah, little kids. If you've got someone that's more of the coaster enthusiast and you're going to probably pick up Tron, you might consider Space Mountain. Personally, I always go Jungle Cruise just because I think it's great, and it's the hardest one to get of the bunch, actually.
Yeah, it's
Space Mountain I can always get day of. I always get Space Mountain day of. I've had decent luck at getting Peter Pan's flight day of. When Big Thunder's open, I've always been able to get day of.
Yeah.
I actually got both Jungle Cruise and Peter Pan last hour when we were there.
Yeah.
On, called them. Multi? Because it wasn't dark, is that why? Some people don't like doing Jungle Cruise.
Don't like doing Jungle Cruise in the dark. Well, it was a 10. It was a little after 10 what the time was, but
right. Maybe that
still,
was.
It still bypassed a decent line. It wasn't as long as it would have been in the daytime, yeah. I'm sure.
Right, right.
So, okay, you pick between those, and then your other two really are just about planning your day. Try to keep them close together. Don't crisscross the park. It's good. If you don't know the map, it's good to at least look at a map before you start booking, because the last thing you want to do is book, you know, I don't know, Barnstormer and then followed by Pirates or something. You just don't want to do that.
Right. But also knowing Big Thunder is going to be down the whole year, so don't even think about that one.
Now, on that list, though, the hardest things to pull day of. Our Haunted Mansion, it's the hardest one to get of those. Now, it's not like it's hard to get early in the day. It's hard to get one soon. You're always booking it for several hours and it, you know, out when you're pulling it.
Right. You can still do Tap Grab Modify, which I guess haven't mentioned yet in this episode, but book it for a later time and then modify it to a better time. That's still a thing.
If you can. It's not as easy to do anymore, apparently.
Yeah, but it is doable, and I've had good luck with it for the most part.
It depends on the size of your party, too.
Yeah, the more people, the harder it is.
That's the weirdest thing. Everybody can only do the ride once, yet it's harder to get than when people could do it multiple times. It makes no sense.
Well, I think there was a lot of people that never leveraged the FastPass system, even though it was free.
Well, yeah.
Because they just didn't know about it.
I don't think there's still as many people doing this, though. I still think there's still a lot of people doing the I've got my three.
They may have also limited it more than they did before.
Yeah, because they...
This is the most limited system we've had.
Yeah. Held some back for Premier Pass and whatnot.
Yeah.
So in addition to Haunted Mansion, the one that I think is the other one that's like really hard to get out of this, not one that I care about riding, though, but if you do, is the Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh always seems to be a problem.
Right, yeah, that one
it's is popular.
I don't know why that one in particular, though.
I think it's just low capacity. It's low capacity ride, right?
It kind of is, yeah, you're right. But it is popular, too.
But, like, Speedway is pretty low capacity, and that one's always easy to get. Of course, it's less popular probably. Yeah. But that's always available.
Those are the two hardest ones. Going down the list, Barnstormer almost always an instant pull. Buzz Lightyear's can get a little hard to get, but just
yeah, you can easily get an hour or two out and move it to a better time.
Dumbo, Small World, Tea Party, usually all instant. Magikarpus of Aladdin, pretty instant usually. PhilharMagic, absolutely instant. Monsters, Inc., Laugh Floor, you don't need it.
No, yeah, any show you never really need it for.
Pirates, sometimes, like if you're midday, yeah, it can get difficult, but it's not.
It's also one of the easier ones to get.
Yeah, but usually when you get it midday, you're looking at a two-hour out time slot, but any other time of the day, it's pretty instant.
I mean,
Tomorrowland Speedway, about pretty instant. Journey, a little more worth it. So it's like a lot of really instant return times on those, so no need to really even book in advance.
Yeah. So if you're wanting to do everything and you're wanting to spend the money, buy Tron.
Well, you buy Tron and Seven Dwarfs, just to be clear.
Yes, I was going to go say that too. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, buy it as well. But basically, you start the day with five lightning lanes. So,
yep.
With Magic Kingdom, it's very easy to always have something to do.
I think if you're going to stay all day, you could do just as well with just buying Tron and then do Dwarfs at the end of the night.
You're going to be so exhausted, though.
That's what I was going to say. With kids, like, ain't gonna make
the experience I've had with Dwarves, though, is the wait is way less than the advert what it's advertised as most of the time.
It is.
But it's like, still less. After a long day, and if you've been there all day, no one's going to want to do
you
it.
If you buy both and you get the three, you're going to, and you have kids, you're going to get everything done that you're going to want to have done at that park before the fireworks go off, and you won't even have to stay.
Yeah. And then you could watch the fireworks from like the plot in Main Street, like the end of Main Street, and be the first out, because getting out of Magic Kingdom is like the longest.
Mm-hmm.
If you're staying in a resort like Pop Century or something, it's going to take forever to get back to your hotel.
Oh, no. I think at the end of a long day, all the resorts feel like they take forever.
Yeah. I mean, Magic Kingdom is always the hardest. If you're using Disney transportation, even if you drove
because you got to get to the parking lot.
On my last trip, you know, it was the nicest thing because I did a split stay when we were there with you, Adam, right? I stayed at All Stars a little bit, but then I had a DVC stay at Wilderness Lodge. And getting that Wilderness Lodge boat back was so nice.
It really is, because you don't have as much traffic to fight for either as you do the monorail, right?
Yeah.
So even the resort monorail can be a wait at the end of the day. Yeah.
There's just something special to me about riding boat transportation. That's why, you know, my son never wants to do the ferry boat. He usually wants to get on the monorail if we go to the TTC. But one of the things is if I do go to the TTC and he's not there, I'm taking the ferry boat in, you know.
Yeah, it's a really nice, relaxing way. But everyone's in too big of a dang hurry. That's the problem.
Well, it's like I told you we were pretty tired, and it was that Epcot day became pretty exhausting. And at the end of it, we took going to the bus route, we took the monorail just so we could sit for a while and go back to TTC so we could sit for another little while to Contemporary, and then took that boat to Wilderness Lodge. It was just like three different modes of transportation just so you could sit for a moment.
You could have walked faster, but yes.
Time-wise, yes, but it was worth it just to be able to sit.
Right.
I mean, I think that sounds pretty fun. You know,
actually, yes. I always would take the monorail. Came. Monorail's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't notice they were running that boat when I was there, because that wasn't running for a long time, the boat between the two.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we almost had it to ourselves, too, at that hour.
No, it is a relaxing way to get out. If you're going to park hop, let's say you're trying to go to all four parks in the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
You start at Animal Kingdom. That's your best place to start. It opens first. You can tap in, get your stuff done early. Your midday, I don't know. I would say always end at Magic and then do your middays at Epcot or Hollywood.
I guess. Unless you're staying at Epcot or Skyliner Resort, then I would try to end there.
But I mean, you're really honestly probably going to get two parks in a day.
I know back in the day, it seemed to be a popular thing we did, and it was usually just because of hours mostly. was you would start the day at either Animal, Epcot, or the studios, and then ended at Magic Kingdom because it was open later.
Yeah, you did that quite frequently.
2 a.m.
Yeah.
1 a.m., 2 a.m.
It's always, yeah, it's usually late. Yeah.
Except for you would at least one night stay for, when I say back when, you would stay for Reflections of Earth, obviously, at Epcot. The other parks, there was only two parks that had nighttime, right? That was Magic Kingdom and Epcot. That was it.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that have good shows. Let's put it that way.
It's a great show. Come on, now.
What?
You don't like Fantasmic?
It's not late.
It's not really my cup of tea. I mean, I've seen it, and that's pretty much, I don't have to see that on a regular basis.
Is great. John just has wrong opinions, and it's
just like we have Fantasmic, and on top of that, you have to like take a 3-day journey to get to it. So,
you like to sit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You do like sitting, clearly.
So I took the friendship boats to the Skyliner.
Yeah.
Hey, you know?
Yeah.
I would consider doing that. That would be fun. You said yourself it'd be a fun little trip.
You do a loop where you take the Skyliner.
See how many modes of transportation you can take?
Well, no, you do a circle. You take the Skyliner line all the way from Epcot to Caribbean Beach. Then you take Caribbean Beach to Hollywood Studios. Then you take the boat from Hollywood Studios back to the International Gateway, and you do a circle.
Yeah. I tell you what, the friendship boats over there, I mean, once upon a time, I would say those were, I consider that kind of a nice thing, but that is a slog of an option, depending on which resort you're at over there.
I think it's always funny when you get on the boat and people have been on it before and they're staying at, I forget the route now, where you're staying at Yacht Club, you're like, oh, I'll just ride this over to Epcot. And then they like shuttle you over to Boardwalk.
Swan, yeah. Dolphin.
Depending on which one you got on too, right? Which side? Which one was this heading in first?
I think you could crawl to Epcot faster than taking that boat.
That's true.
Oh, if you're staying, at Yacht Club, like for example? Yeah. Yeah, you don't take the boat for the speed. You just take it for the, like, if you want to
do it for the ride game.
Yeah.
Now, if they had an option where you could take the boat directly into Epcot, now that would
be, yeah,
or drop you off at like Japan, or you know,
or Morocco. Yeah, that's something.
How come Walt Disney World got away with the whole like transportation into the park, like they started with Disneyland, right? With monorail. How come they just got away from that? I guess I don't know.
I guess they didn't want to put up ticket checkpoints, or I don't know.
They originally were going to do that. All right, we've gone long here with this, so.
Well, we've given you all our advice, and if you're listening to this in the early part of 2025, great. Otherwise, forget everything we said about Animal Kingdom. It's not going to change.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
And as I said in the other one, this is my least favorite iteration of the FastPass system. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's certain things that are good about it. Being able to hold three at all times is nice. I did say that.
Still before. Think original FastPass is my favorite because...
Oh, of course. It was free.
Not just because it was free. Yeah. Even if it was paid, it has so many more advantages. Because
you get
one being...
Yeah.
Multi-rides. On the same ones.
Yeah, on the same thing.
I would like the original system, but with the day of thing that the genie did.
Yeah. Well, so where you could do 3 day of?
Kind of. Yeah, yeah.
That would be the best mashup. I do think, though, that given the way I travel today, if you made me pick a system to go back to, I'm picking Genie because I like...
Stacking.
Well, I like stacking.
I love stacking.
I like being able to not know what I'm going to do necessarily until the day before because, like, you have a day and you're tired. You're like, I'm just going to go to this park today, or I'm going to wait till later to go, or whatever you might do. And you can go around that and decide, oh, I was thinking about buying that individual lightning lane, but I was able to get on, so I don't need to buy it. You know, there's a whole bunch of different things that can go into it. Yes, you have to get up at 7 and all that, but, you know, I'm at Disney World, so I'm going to be awake anyway.
You still have to get up at 7, just 7 days earlier.
And so I think I would go back to the Genie system if I could have my drillers, just because I thought it was once we got to understand it, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, if you could do 3 instead of just the 1, that would be awesome. Because the rapid stacking.
Yeah, but the stacking allowed you to have as many as 5, 6 lined up if you wanted to, if you played it right. So
But with the rabbit stacking trick, which we can talk about freely because it's not a thing anymore, you just book a, you know, at Hollywood Studios, book the Disney Junior thing or Frozen or whatever, and you could have every Lightning Lane by like 10 a.m. at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, because there's only, what, 7-8 attractions? Amazing.
Right. That was the best thing ever. But anyway.
It made Hollywood Studios a lot easier to navigate, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
I get if you do want the most, the least hassle, though, just go spring for the Premier Pass.
Sure.
Well, yeah. You don't even have to book anything, so what's the point of us talking about that?
Oh, I'll tell you my we'll do one quick thing, Adam, before we go. My top strategy for the Premier Pass.
Yeah.
Ride whatever you want, whenever you want. Just go up to it.
Right, okay.
As long as you got the cash.
For about the same price as book a VIP tour.
Well, it's about the same price depending on how many people you got.
Yeah, if you have a 8, 10, whatever the max is, and you divide that out, it's probably about the same.
Let me go through and calculate what my family of four would be to do all four parks day after day.
So it's what about, I think on
top of general admission.
On average, yeah, between the parks, you're probably looking at, like, isn't Magic Kingdom like 350 is the lowest
park? I think it's, last I saw it was like 330.
Yeah, 330, and then the lowest parks.
Depends on the day.
Like 200, 150, 200?
Animal Kingdom was like 150.
It might have been the only sub 200
one. We're talking an average of $225 per person per day. So 225, you have a family of four for 4 days. That's 30,
right, yeah, that's just
$3,600 additional.
On top of admission.
On top of admission.
But if you wanted to park hop, you got to buy multi-pass for each park, don't you?
Oh, well, the Premier Pass is only for one park.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, he was talking about buying Premier Pass for a park each, like 4 days.
For 4 days.
One for each day.
Like, if you wanted to park hop, though.
If you park hop, you can't park hop on the Premier Pass.
Why would you need to on the Premier Pass? I mean, well, the thing is, you could probably get done with
a Premier Pass.
I would say that you probably really just breeze through a park in a short amount of time, actually, with the Premier Pass. So you probably have more time to park hop.
That's what I'm saying.
But they won't allow it. So
you can't just buy another one for the other park.
I don't think it will.
Oh, I'm sure they might let you.
Try it, Adam. Try it tomorrow, Lester, I guess.
Yeah, let's try it. I'll tell you.
Yeah. I find it hard to believe they would stop you from spending money.
Right, yeah, exactly.
All right, well, that's gotta be it. We'll get back to the next episode after you've bought a bunch of Premier Passes for testing, right, Adam?
I'll let you know. Yeah, as soon as we get a sponsor to pay for it.
If I was perhaps single and going by myself, I would probably take that option.
Well, I will tell you, for the Premier Pass, they have the similar thing in Disneyland Paris. I was there for a day. I think I've said this on the pod. If I haven't, I'll say it now. It was with a family of four. We only had one day that we're ever possibly going to be there. It was probably a similar type price, and it was worth it because it was a one-day affair. I didn't have to worry about anything.
Yeah. In that case, you knew you were going to get all the rides in as long as they were operating.
Correct.
Right. So there's probably several people that come here from other countries that are like, yeah, I'll pay that because I don't want to have to deal with it. So.
Wasn't there exclusions on that one, though, on theirs?
I got to do everything I wanted to do on it, and it was okay. It was totally worth it. For a one-day, if I was there for multiple days, I wouldn't have bought it. But for a one-day thing, it's worth
sure.
it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up. So, where are we out there in the interwebs?
Well, we're on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel. And where can we find that at?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. And there are links to all those things and more there. So, for John and Jason, my name is Adam, and this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Bye.
With MultiPass.
Mm-hmm.
Or Premier Pass, and then buy it for us.
Yeah. Buy us a Premier Pass.
You know, one thing when we're talking about the cruise earlier, the next one that I actually do, I'm going to do something that I probably would never have thought of doing before just because of there's all kind of perks for doing it. And that's go through a travel agent.